are officially invited into the fourth episode of Not a Wine Drinker. Hello, I'm so glad to have you here. I am your host, Amy, and we are talking vampire movies. And this week, oh boy, have we got one for you. We are talking about the 1985 rom-com directed by Howard Storm, Once Bitten. Oh man, I remember watching this as a kid when it was on cable. I didn't understand half of it, but I still loved it. All the jokes went woo right over my head, but it was such a great romp. And I loved Jim Carrey, so it was great to see him in this. But someone who I didn't know was in this until I just rewatched it for this show was Cleavon Little. And if you don't know who Cleavon Little is, I've got two words for you. Blazing Saddles. Ooh, man, he was the over-the-top, hilariously comedic sheriff. So I was expecting that same, like, over-the-top, wild, crazy type of character. And he's the first person that you see in the movie. And he is just this very staid, understated, quite snobby butler by the name of Sebastian. And he is fixing a drink and then he's walking through this huge mansion, which, by the way, I looked up, is a real mansion. It's out in Beverly Hills and it sold, last time it was sold was in 2000 for $4.5 million. And it is now estimated to be worth a little over $6 million. Ooh! It's a six-bedroom home with a pool that is also featured in the movie. It's a character in its own right. So Sebastian is walking with his drink and he eventually gets to a coffin that he knocks on. And out pops the Countess, our main vampire, who is played by Lauren Hutton. And they talk about how she needs to drink the blood of a virgin by Halloween, which is coming up in a week. And oh my goodness, they cannot find any virgins anymore. And then you cut to the other main characters in the movie, who are Mark, played by Jim Carrey, and Robin, who is played by Karen Coppens. There, it's another classic trope of two teens in a car. And the boy wants to have sex and the girl is very reluctant. But in this movie, they change things up a little bit because the car is now an ice cream truck, which is really funny. And Mark finally leaves the truck in frustration and they are not alone. They're in a parking lot that is full of cars and all the other cars are squeaking and bumping and grinding. And then it cuts to Mark talking with his two friends, and they also play classic friend tropes, one being the overconfident, thinking he's a ladies' man and totally isn't, and then the other is a very nervous, anxious type. And they talk about, oh, woe is us, we are still virgins, and they decide to go to Hollywood to deflower themselves, even though Mark has a girlfriend. He thinks that having sex is more important and he feels like he should just cheat on his girlfriend. Oh man. So they go to Hollywood, where we get yet another amazing 80s trope. Probably the best of all is the montage. Oh yeah, you get to see all the wild things that go on in Hollywood, including a woman walking her lion. And they go to this club. And the club, I never realized that this was an actual thing, where each table has a phone and you can call up the other tables. And I had seen that in the musical Cabaret. They have phones at the table. But I kind of thought that it was just something for like management to be able to call you for some reason. I didn't realize that it was actually like part of the appeal. Like, I didn't realize that it was actually part of like finding dates. So they're at this club and someone calls the table and asks for one of the friends of Mark. And so the friend goes over and is talking with this person and then finds out that the person is a man in drag and freaks out and leaves. So fun little sprinkling of homophobia there. And then this is also the scene where Mark meets the Countess and they start talking and she ends up taking him to his house because there's this whole big hullabaloo of someone coming into the nightclub with a gun, which obviously would be treated very differently today. But back then, they're just like, oh boy, here we go again. And so she takes Mark back to her place so that she can drink on his blood, although he thinks he's going back to her place to have sex. So he wakes up the next morning, not remembering anything, thinking maybe they had sex, and the Countess kind of leads him to believe that they did, which also is really problematic. So he thinks he cheated on his girlfriend, he thinks he's not a virgin anymore, and she got her blood. And so then you see Mark and his friends at their school. And so when he was talking to the Countess, he said that he was in college and he's studying engineering and blah, blah, blah. And I totally believed him. And so when they show the school, I'm like, wow, that college campus looks a lot like a high school. Yeah, no, they're just high school students. And actually, the school that they filmed at was actually a junior high school. So Mark is talking to his friends about, you know, scoring with this older woman, and his girlfriend overhears and gets super mad. You know, he has to get back into her good graces, which I think she let him back way too easily. And also, since Mark has been bitten once, he's starting to succumb to symptoms of vampirism. And, oh man, his poor parents, they seem so sweet, but like so confused by what he's going through. Because like his father finds him sleeping in a trunk, and his father's just like, can you sleep in a bed? And then he's talking with his mom and getting breakfast ready, and then he's like, oh, I gotta go. And she's like, oh, but what about your juice? And he picks up the, she had drained some blood from some meat that she was making, and he drinks the blood instead of his juice and runs out, and she's just like, So he's starting to feel the effects of having been bitten, but the Countess needs to bite him 3 times. So the second time that she bites him is when Mark goes to visit his girlfriend Robin, where she works. She works at a clothing store, and Mark goes to try on some clothes. So he goes into the dressing room and boom, there's the Countess. But she doesn't cast a reflection, so he doesn't see her at first because he's facing the mirror. And then she talks and he turns around and there she is. So she gets to bite him a second time. Again, he doesn't remember what happens, but he is starting to become even more like a vampire after that. There's this great scene where the high school has their prom. Or it's not a prom. Actually, I think it's like a Halloween dance. Yeah, because they're all told to dress up. So Robin and Mark go, and Robin is dressed as Jill, and he was supposed to dress as Jack, but Mark is like, nah, I don't want to dress up. And so he's all in black. So everyone, there's the running gag that everyone thinks he's dressed up as a vampire, and he's like, I'm not a vampire. And when they're getting checked in, there's a woman checking them in, and she also says, oh, great vampire costume. And that woman is Megan Mullally. Ah, like, what? Totally didn't recognize her at all. Yeah, she plays the character is named Suzette, and she's the one who gives them their tickets. I was just like, oh, wow, that's so cool when you see a little cameo. So then at the dance, oh, yes, another 80s trope. They have the dance off. Oh, the Countess shows up and she's trying to lure Mark away. But then Karen comes and, you know, obviously she wants to keep her boyfriend. So the Countess and Karen keep dancing with Mark to try and lure him away from the other one. And then the Countess and Karen end up dancing together, which was awesome that they like pitted each other perfectly against each other. And it's also a great scene for Jim Carrey to show off his rubbery moves. Like, oh man, his going back and forth between the two was just, he's so good at that. So the Countess wasn't able to lure Mark away in that sense. So instead, she kidnaps Karen, and then Mark has to go rescue her. But before he does that, I realized that I completely forgot to talk about the shower scene. Oh my goodness. Another problematic part of an 80s movie. So Robin had figured out that Mark is maybe turning into a vampire. So she needs his friends to go check to see if he has any bite marks. And the bite marks would be on his upper thigh. So they decided it's a good idea to check while they're all taking showers after gym class at school. And instead of just like asking, which Robin later says, like, why don't you just ask him? They're like, oh no, we gotta like
make it a secret mission to figure this out. And so, you know, they like wrangle him and try to like look at his upper thigh. And everyone's like, oh, they're gay, they're gay. And then they're like, oh God, our lives are ruined because everyone thinks we're gay. And to be fair, in the 80s, to be out as gay could be problematic in the fact that so many people might harass you, you might get death threats. Like it's bad in that way, but they're not even thinking of that. They're just like, oh, now we're never going to get any women. So like, it wasn't like they were afraid for their lives. It was more just they thought it was going to ruin their reputation. Yeah, great job, 80s. Also, I realized that I kept saying Karen instead of Robin. So I apologize for that. And I think I say it one more time after this. Whoops. But anyways, so after that, Mark is going to rescue Robin. So he, with the help of his friends, they go to the awesome mansion and they're able to find Karen like right away. But then they get caught. The Countess puts Mark in this weird chair that looks like a dentist chair or like a gynecologist chair or something to like spread his legs apart because she has to bite him on his upper thigh. And so she's going to go in for the third bite. But then his friends stop it. There's this huge chase scene throughout the house. And there's this great moment where all the other, the Countess has like a whole slew of other vampires that live with her. And the vampires are like smashing through the walls and stuff. And at one point, the vampire is about to smash through the door. And Countess is like, hello, this is my house. I have to pay for all this shit. Like, could you try just opening the door? And then it's totally unlocked and it just opens right away. So they're running through, chasing after Mark and Robin until they finally get to a room where all the coffins are. And there's this one coffin that's rocking and rolling. And yeah, they just had sex. So now the Countess can't have Mark's blood because he's no longer a virgin. And she ends up becoming old. So that was the only reason that she really needed the blood, was to keep her youth. So then she's like this little old lady. And Sebastian's like, oh, we can find virgins out in Nebraska or Kansas. Some farm boys. he's so like understated, but still so funny. He's great. So this was director Howard Storm's first feature film, and it ended up being his only feature film. But he was really well known for directing a lot of TV shows at the time. He'd done Laverne and Shirley, Mork and Mindy, Taxi, Full House, ALF, so all of those classic TV series. So I'm not sure why this is the only film he'd ever done, but there it is. I also heard, this is an anecdote, so I'm not sure how true this is, but one of the writers, Jeffrey House, hadn't made enough money. He had blown through his earnings, and he was working at a video store, and one day a customer came in and saw the movie Once Bitten and was like, oh, whoever wrote this shouldn't be working in Hollywood. And so Jeffrey House was like, well, you got your wish. Yeah, I can't verify that, but that's a funny story if that happened. I also know that with casting for the main role, Mark, one of the writers, Jeffrey House, really, really wanted Michael J. Fox to take the lead. But the producers thought that Michael J. Fox would not be able to carry an entire movie. Well, joke's on them. Michael J. Fox later in that year, really, came out with Back to the Future and Teen Wolf. So he would have been great. But Jim Carrey was also super amazing. Also, for the role of the Countess, Lauren Hutton was not their first choice. They actually wanted Elvira to play the Countess, which she would have done a great job too. But Lauren Hutton was great. When it came out, oh boy, it was pretty much panned. There's a pretty scathing review in the New York Times saying that Miss Hutton looks great in black, but her predatory vampire grows tiresome very quickly, as do all the Bloody Mary jokes. And it says it affects a glossy, sophisticated look that does little to upgrade the film's adolescent humor. So they weren't really, they didn't think too much of it. And the Washington Post said it was a sappy, sophomoric sex farce that uses dated humor. So a lot of the tropes, even at that time, were already being overused that had been seen in the film. But it did get pretty big cult following just because it was shown on cable so much. Which is why I happen to know of it from my childhood. So the tropes that we get here, one right away is the vampire who needs to drink blood to stay young. And there's a lot of rules connected to that. She has to drink the blood 3 times. It has to be before Halloween, and it has to be from a virgin. And it's weird because, like, how would a vampire know about all these rules? Was it through trial and error? Did vampires before her figure things out and now pass that knowledge down to the newer vampires? Like, it's so funny to me when, like, there's all these, like, weird, crazy rules for how a vampire should live. Like, how do they learn? How do they know about these rules? So, anyways, she needs to get this blood, and for some reason she lives in LA, where apparently there's no virgins left. So instead of moving to a place where there might be more virgins, maybe like a more religious area, she's just like, nope, just look harder. You also get no reflection, which is used a lot in this movie. There's a great scene where she wants to redo her makeup, and so she sits in front of the circular frame that would normally hold a mirror, but then Sebastian, her butler, sits down across from her, and it's just him reaching through the frame to put her makeup on. So she has no idea what she looks like. He's the one making sure that she looks good. There's also another scene where Mark is turning more and more into a vampire, and he's at the high school with Robin, and he looks over and he sees that he's not reflecting anymore, and it kind of goes in and out. So when he tells Robin to look, his reflection is back. So she's like, what are you talking about? But then it goes away again, and she's able to see that it goes away, and so she finally believes him. And that's when she realizes what's happening with him, that he's turning into a vampire. Oh, and then at the end, when they're at the Countess's mansion, running for their lives, at the end, when the Countess is about to bite Mark for the third and final time, there's a whole bunch of candles all around. And so Mark's friends and Robin use the fire from the candles to keep the vampires away. So why would they have all that fire around them if they're afraid of the fire? I was like, that doesn't really make a lot of sense. But yeah, all the humans are able to keep the vampires away with fire that the vampires have supplied. Oh, and also in that scene, Robin tries to use a cross to keep the Countess away. And the Countess is like, well, too bad for you. I'm an atheist. Which is great. There's a lot of problematic humor in this, but some of the humor is just really good. And there's also, once the Countess bites Mark 3 times, it's presumed that he will turn into a full vampire because she has all these other vampires living with her that she must have drank from to stay young. And now she just has this following of vampires that she had to turn. And also the trope that because she wasn't able to bite him the 3rd time, that all of the effects of the vampirism will then leave Mark's body. Possibly? I don't know. They never actually show that, but let's kind of presume that he'll be fine. So this movie, oh my goodness. It's like peak 80s. Just like all the 80s humor. Just such a classic in all the right and wrong ways. So did you see it when you were young and see it with different eyes nowadays? Or do you think it still holds up? Thank you so much for listening. Please like, subscribe, share among all your friends and enemies. And wine might be fine, but coffee is divine. So please go over to buymeacoffee.com/notawinedrinker and give what you can if you want to see this podcast grow and thrive. Thank you so much for any help and support. And if you've stuck around this long, you know that you get to hear the next vampire movie. So I've done horror, I've done comedy. Now I want to try a little action. So next week I'll be looking at the 2004 movie Van Helsing. Woohoo! I hope you're just as excited as me because I have never seen it before. And I know it got panned, but also Hugh Jackman. And until next time, watch out for 300-year-old vampires trying to flirt with the high schoolers. Okay, bye!